Well, welcome back, ladies. In this segment, we do our Bible study, and here we are with our teacher, Beth Seifert, who is going to teach us in the book of Romans. Thank you, Beth.
Thanks, Amy. Yesterday, we were talking about how Paul was pointing us to seeing how sin has an effect on our lives and how we can be alive in Christ when we rely on Him. And today, we're going to jump into Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Well, when you see a therefore, you have to ask what it's there for. Paul is linking what he has said back in chapter 5, verses 12 through 21 with this. And just to remind us of that, here's what Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 21 says. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to what condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. In both that section and in this one, Paul assures the believer of the reality of life in Christ as well as the finality of that life, and shows how this life is the product of righteousness. So now that he has laid the groundwork of chapters 6 and 7, Paul is restating what he said back in chapter 5, pointing to the Spirit. The work of the Spirit is mentioned roughly 20 times in this chapter. It depends a bit on your translation, whether it's 21 or 19 or right at 20, but roughly once every two verses. We learn about the Spirit's ministry on behalf of Christians, the blessings and privileges conferred on believers by the Spirit. In these verses, 1 through 11, we see the key is life, where the Spirit confers life both in the present by the removal of both the penalty and the power of sin, and the Spirit confers life in the future with the promise of the raising of this mortal body from the dead. These first four verses in Romans 8 demonstrate that believers who are walking in the power of the Spirit can fulfill the law, the righteous requirements the law places on them, not through their own righteousness, but through Christ's. The Spirit has replaced, in believers, the law that produced only sin and death with a new simple law that produces life, the new law of faith. The Gospel. All of this is in preparation for Paul to demonstrate the results of what he has been teaching in the last seven chapters, that justification is by faith alone on the basis of God's awe-inspiring grace, not on our own works. Some of the best words ever written in the Bible are in these verses. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Whoa. None. Now, does that mean that I'm not guilty? Actually, no. What it means is that while you're still guilty of your sins, the penalty for them has been paid, and righteousness has been imputed or credited to you as a believer. There is no sin, past, present, or future, that you can or have committed that can be held against you if you are truly in Christ. That penalty has been paid once. And God would not be just if he required it to be paid twice, so you can rest assured knowing that your salvation is secure because it wasn't by your own ability in the first place. God did what the law, because of our sinfulness and our inability to keep the law, could not do. He paid the righteous requirement of the law and fulfilled it for us. Through Christ's life and death, we also get the promise of no more death, because our Savior did not stay dead. Not only did he fulfill the law that we could not keep, he broke the chains of death in a way we could never hope for. We have been freed from sin and death, and through the Spirit, we are able to fulfill God's law. What that external code was not able to do, the Spirit is able to do in writing God's law on our hearts and in giving us the power to obey it. Verse 5 has such promise and such a woe to me. The promise is that as our nature has been changed by Christ, the Spirit gives us the strength to find victory over our unredeemed flesh, one battle at a time. Yet as I read verse 5, it honestly breaks my heart. I want to beg God to show me where my mind is still a slave to the flesh, where my mind is still set on the flesh, not the Spirit. I want to know where I need to focus, what I need to work on, and where I'm still living for today. Not for eternity and not for his glory. If I live according to the Spirit, my mind should be on the things of the Spirit, eternal things, not temporal things. If I'm living according to the Spirit, I should experience a lot more urgency to share my Savior with the lost, instead of withholding his gifts from them. Instead, what do I see? That my mind is on the flesh. When my mind is on the flesh, I'm focused on things that are dead or dying. When all I can focus on is this world and its trials, I'm, in a way, living death. As Ephesians 2 tells us, without Christ, we are not alive. We are spiritually dead. We're living for the things that will pass away, more concerned about those things than about God's promise of judgment and eternal life. The mind of the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. It can't. Living in the flesh, you cannot please God. Period. If you're continually focused on those things which are against him, you can't please him. If Christ is my boss, if his Spirit is in me, he who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life, his life, to my body, through his Spirit dwelling in me. He isn't giving me life so that I can do whatever I want to do with it. My life is now his. But he is giving me life that I may go and sin no more. That life can't possibly come from me. Remember yesterday where we talked about the good that we want to do but can't do because of the sin living in us? It still applies here. Apart from Christ, we won't even seek God. We don't want the things of God. We desire only what we want, what we perceive as good for us. We don't want what God wants, and we aren't terribly concerned about other people either. Remember, you can't make yourself want the things of God either. That's a work of the Spirit. You can't try really, really hard and get there. That's a fruit of the Spirit and the new heart that has been placed within you by Christ. not a result of your own determination or self-reliance. It is only when we are believers that we are spiritually alive and at peace, not at enmity, not under condemnation with God. So what is on your mind on? Are you waiting for the next show to watch or the next book to read? Are you thinking about work or school or family? Are you thinking about the car that needs fixed, the house that needs repaired, or the doctor bill that needs paid? Now, none of those things are bad things. Don't misunderstand me. But where is God in all of that? Where is Christ? As you contemplate that next show to watch, are you asking yourself, is this a show that is God-honoring? Would I be embarrassed if Christ was standing next to me while I watched this? Same thing about the next book you want to read and your work. Are you pondering what God wants you to do in your workplace? Why he has put you there? How you are called to serve? God understands that we do need to give thought to work and school and all of those other things. But if your thoughts on those matters exclude him, then they aren't particularly useful. Today, take heart. If you are in the realm of the Spirit, if the Spirit of Christ is in you, ask him to show you how to welcome him into all facets of your life. And then give those areas that you were holding onto over to him. Stop worrying and complaining. Stop planning your entertainment as if it doesn't matter what you put into your mind. Focus your mind on him. Desire what the Spirit desires and honor God in all that you do.
Well, thank you, Beth, for that Bible study. And ladies, remember, you can find all of the podcasts that Beth has recorded for us, as well as wonderful notes that she has for us on our website. Just go to the Bible Studies tab, naomistable.com, and download to your heart's content. We'll be back to talk more about this lesson in just a moment.